misunderstood. If you'll take a look at that bear skin. I know a lot of you might object to the bear rug and being an animal and all that, but that came out of Washington, D.C., out of the legislative office back there. And I found it down here in the sitting on top of the file cabinet. I decided that was the most inappropriate place for something that beautiful. So I made a deal with them, and they allowed me to hang that on the wall. And I think it's kind of an asset to this State Affairs room. Those pictures, by the way, are mine. I like that kind of art. I kind of relate to that look better. I imagine you all do.
I got Mr. Chairman was that that was a little 3-year-old girl's pet up north, and she came home and shot it.
Does anyone believe that?
You resemble
this. Remember Big Ben and Louis?
Well, I've got enough here.
What's our bill there?
Okay. I guess we'll just hold for Mr. Miller. I think we can continue because I want to get started. We're a little bit late, and I normally don't run late. We have a little more fun this committee than the rest of them. You know, we can relax for a bit. Take things easy. State Affairs meeting, please come to order. We have Representative Larson with us, Representative Cowdy, myself, Representative Abood, and Representative Miller, who stepped off at just a moment. We do have a quorum. This is Tuesday, January the 24th. This is also being teleconferenced to Angoon, which we haven't heard of in a long time. I hope you heard that, Angoon. Glad to see you aboard.
Thank you.
Oh, good. And we have Matt Sue with us, and Glenn Allen with us, and Palmer with us, and it looks like you forgot. Okay, no, you didn't. Okay, good. Okay, the first bill we're going to hear this afternoon, and the only bill, is House Bill 519, Artworks in Public Buildings. Seems to me I see some familiar faces here that I saw 2-3 years ago and gotten some terrible on. But we're not going to hurt each other today, now are we? We do have the prime sponsor here, Representative Adams, and because he has some other committee meetings, would you care to give us your testimony on this, Representative Adams, and your name and affiliation for the record, if you please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I am Representative Al Adams from District 22, the prime sponsor of House Bill Number 519. This bill would make the so-called percentage for art program optional instead of mandatory. Under current statutes, 1% of the state funding provided for public buildings and facilities in urban areas must be reserved for works of art. For public buildings and facilities constructed in rural areas, 0.5% must go towards the arts. My bill would change the shall in the statute to may. There are two reasons that I think that the program should be optional. The first and most important reason is that the first priority for Bush capital projects is basic needs. The state's financial resources grow smaller each year, yet the capital project needs of my constituents grow larger each year. The cost of construction in northern West Alaska is so high that funding provided by the state barely covers the total price tag of capital projects. It is important to me that we have enough funds for the right building material and construction design before we fund artwork. I do not mean to say that artwork is not important. Only when funding is limited, that building itself must come first. Second, even under the current mandatory language of the statute, many buildings and many projects are built in Alaska without spending the required percentage of art. When I researched this program this summer, I found that some school districts, such as Juneau and Sitka, and state agencies, do not routinely reserve a percentage for art. Moreover, the program has not been well administered, probably due to confusing language of the statute. The role of DOTPF and the Arts Council is not clearly defined and neither has the capacity to enforce the program. Given these facts, but my desire to ensure that the billing itself comes first, I feel that the program should be optional. You may be interested to know that the Legislative Audit Division is in the process of conducting a comprehensive audit of the program issued by the minority member, Mr. Chairman, of this committee. We should carefully review these recommendations and perhaps make other statutory changes at a later date in order to ensure that the program is used, that the state administers it properly. I have provided copies of the House research project conducted for me this summer. It shows all the art projects funded under the program so far, for which we have records. Record keeping has been seriously lacking in the state agency, so not all the information is there. Also, I have provided you copies of the Attorney General's opinion that states that school projects do not have to comply with the program unless covered by DOTPS. The lack of record keeping and the fact that not all public buildings have to comply with the statutes are, in my opinion, good examples of why we should have an optional art program. If not all public works are included, and if the state is not seriously about enforcement of this act, we may as well have statutes that reflect the actual nature of the program. Let's have optional instead of mandatory. Mr. Chairman, I thank you for this opportunity to testify. I have my aide, Lou Ann Cutler, here to be with you this afternoon and answer any questions that may come up in the teleconference or with this meeting. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. I know you have two other meetings to go through right away. So would you care to take one question, Mr. Miller?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just kind of curious if Chairman Adams feels that whenever we find that somebody is disregarding the law, ignoring the law, and then we should just simply eliminate the law rather than enforce it.
If I may respond, sir, if we have problems that is not administered right or not enforced right, we should clearly define what is stated in the statute. And then we should also define what is art, Mr. Miller. Look out your window. Is that art outside your window?
Outside my window was not funded. I repeat, was not funded by the Art in Public Places bill.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Adams.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Larson. I do have Debbie Bailey here, who wants to testify, Debbie. If you'll please give your name and association for the record, please. We are on tape, by the way.
Okay. My name is Debbie Bailey. I'm a producing director of Perseverance Theater here in Juneau. Perseverance Theater opposed the House Bill 519 for several reasons. We do not agree that funding for public art should be optional rather than mandatory. And we are interested in seeing some guarantee in the law that funds will be diverted for arts in public places. Two, earning a living as an artist is extremely difficult, as we all know. And providing funds for artists provides employment for them as well as an opportunity for them to display and develop their art form. We would always argue that arts are not a luxury, but rather a necessity. And we have found through our own program that the isolation of Alaskan communities and a general lack of exposure to the arts in the state has magnified a need for the arts, not only for artistic expression, but for artistic experiences. And we think that the Percent for Arts program provides an excellent way for Alaskan artists to develop their art and for the public to experience it. We hope you don't move it out of committee.
Debbie, do you advocate for subsidization to the state to subsidize artists?
Do you mean through the actual budget, or do I support public support for the arts?
No, do you think the state should subsidize artists? You just got to say in your testimony that hard enough and so on and so forth to have you work this way and so on. But my question would be, do you want the state to pay for that, pay for the work of the artists?
Yes, because I believe it's a public interest in having a healthy artistic climate in the state, and especially in a state where the private sector is limited and where private funding sources are limited, I think there's an even more compelling argument to raise the public support of artists and arts in our schools.
Thank you, Debbie. Your testimony will be edited into the record.
Thank you.
Mr. Martin, Mr. Simone.
Thank you, Mr. Simone. Debbie, I think I'm going to start my question here by stating that my son is an artist, so I very much do appreciate his art. However, as a former borough mayor, one problem that we did have in trying to meet the needs of our educational community basically was we need the money for basic needs and we need it for art. And as Representative Adams said, we did keep at that time on the arts and accepting it for school government. The only problem I have at this time is, what do we call public facilities that require an interest in art? Like the Capitol building, the Fort building, I can see those. But what about a parking lot? I guess a maximum security prison. Could those things also have the 1% on artwork within them? Are we getting the most for our money? Or is there some other way in which we can better meet the art needs to the public by limiting what type of buildings we're talking about? Maybe it should be 6% or 5% for state capital buildings, but maybe it should be 0% for parking lots.
Well, I think certainly
time?
To your point, and with certainly question putting a piece of public art in a parking garage, but I don't see that there's any distinction made in this bill or in the statute. This bill, as I read it, would just simply make money for public art optional rather than mandatory. And yes, I think personally that distinguishing what kinds of buildings that would receive public art, like court buildings, would certainly be one way to go.
I guess one of my questions would be at whose option? I don't think I've had that explained yet as to whose option it would be if this bill were passed. So that's a question that I do have. That can answer, Mr. Miller.
Mr. Chairman, I might just interject. Right now, the statute reads that, you know, obscure and isolated and other types of buildings that are not viewable by the public, that isn't the statute, but it was are not required to have the art and public building money displayed in those buildings. However, it does go into another pool, and the artist, the money that would have gone in some building off where nobody ever sees it is available then for designation in another area where people can and do would enjoy and appreciate it.
I believe the law says any building less than $250,000 not used for public purpose or not a great number of people going in, that money would go into, as Mr. Miller said, another fund to be used for art purposes also. Debbie, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Roxanna Adams, please. Do you wish to testify?
My name is Roxanna Adams, and I am president of Museums Alaska, which is a statewide museum association representing museums in Alaska. Museums Alaska opposes the change in wording of HB 519 from shall to may. This constitutes, in my opinion, a substantial change in the legislation. I argue exposure to art is a basic need, one of those basic needs as referred to by Representative Adams. Museums can barely fulfill a basic need in Alaska. There are only 40-some-odd museums in Alaska, and many more capital projects than this are constructed every year by the state. That is about all I want to say, is I think that museums deserve and interpret a good portion of state art, but this is not enough. There needs to be more and more public buildings.
That concludes your testimony. Thank you very much for your testimony. I note that Mr. Connick is here from the Department of Transportation. Would you care to say anything, Mr. Connick?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. On behalf of the Department of Transportation, my name is Ed Cronick. I'm Special Assistant to Statewide Programs for the Department of Transportation Public Facilities. I'd like to shed a little enlightenment, if I may, if there are any questions regarding the department's role in the process. I have provided the committee with a fiscal note, and as well as the department's current procedure for administering the program. The department would sense a certain amount of conflict in the statutes as they're currently written if this bill is approved, namely with statute, Alaska statute Title 44, Chapter 27, which allows the provision that if in fact a building is determined to not require some form of artwork, that that equivalent amount of money, either the 0.5% or 1%, would be deposited in the fund, which is administered by the Arts Council. Currently, the department views the process as a zero impact. It would be extremely difficult to determine the fiscal impact if, in fact, this new legislation would mean that all artwork is determined as an option. As alluded to earlier, the degree of measurement or determination of how that, of what facilities qualify would be extremely difficult. That is a process that would need to be fairly well defined and explained. And at once, at the point in time in which the facilities are in fact defined as requiring or not requiring artwork, then a further detailed fiscal note can be provided. But currently at this time, it's very difficult. Thank you.
Mr. Cronin, can you tell me how much Department of Transportation has done? What the cost of this art has been over the last year or 2 years or the last fiscal year? So can you give us an idea, please?
Mr. Chairman, as Representative Adams said, there is a current audit being done. We did, in November, conduct an audit of the artwork that was directly purchased by the Department of Transportation since the inception of the program. And this is artwork for buildings that were directly related in the fiscal basis to the cost of that facility. This does not include those facilities in which it was determined that artwork was not required and that money was deposited in funds, nor does it include artwork that was provided for the Alaska Marine Highway System. But since the inception of the program, the department to date has spent $993,898 on direct contract for artwork.
But you can't tell us any way you can get the figures on how much money it's been, how much money that 1% for art had represented. And if, I'm sure that there's a difference between the two figures. And what's happening to the balance of the money that's supposed to be in the art fund? Do you manage that, too?
No, we do not manage the funds that are deposited in the fund. Nor am I in a position at this time to enlighten you any further as to how that fund is managed.
Is that because of the audit that's being conducted, or you don't know?
No, I don't know at this time.
Would it be within your scope to find out?
As a department, we did conduct this audit in November, and it was due to discrepancies with the Arts Council that prompted this further audit. And I think that's as far as I can say that we're doing now. We are trying to ascertain why the difference in the balances.
Look at Bill Passes, by the way, you're hearing this, you're reading it on the option. Would you interpret that to mean that it would be the Department of Transportation's option or the Arts Council option, or whose option?
That's a very good question, sir, and I think that it's once again how well the statute gets defined to determine the criterion before we can make that decision.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Chairman, I just want to interject a thought here. Although we can use this option if we want to, let's be real blunt about this. The purpose of the bill is to kill the art and public places.
I disagree very
well. Mr. Chairman, you can disagree if you want to or not, but the fact of the matter is, in the absence of this statute, you've always got the option. I mean, you had the option before the statute was ever passed, and if an architect designed something, he allowed his salary a little bit of money left over, something like that, or if he was a good architect and built and designed with a recognition of the value of art in public places, then the money was there. If it was done in a shoddy manner or something like that, it wasn't. And so the option was always there. This statute, which we enacted almost a decade ago, and was one of the first in the United States, although not the first, took that option away. Now, if we return it and make it permissive, you can be in favor of killing the bill if you want to, and I suppose you can make a case for it. But the fact situation is that if we adopt this language, we would be a lot more honest that the wife of the statute is completely off the book because the decision to have public, as a state policy, to have art, worthwhile art, in Alaska public places would have been wiped out. If we change that from shall to may, we are killing we are taking the very gut out of the statute. And I think I think we at least got to be up front and say that's what's going to happen. Now, maybe you can make a good case why that should happen. I don't know. But that's exactly what's going to happen if we change that to shall or may. We'll just return to the exact fact situation that we had before the bill was ever passed.
Well, without a great deal of thought going into it right at this particular instance, because we haven't had a real chance to really absorb everything and listen to all the testimony, one of the biggest cases you make for wiping the whole thing out, if you want to put it in that manner, is the very poor management of the whole thing, including the Arts Council, including the Department of Transportation. You can't give figures. That because of the audits and so on, maybe if we clean our act up, this might work pretty good. I mean, talking about the administrative areas and so on and so forth.
Chairman, just to respond to that, if I may, and also yield to Mr. Larson, I just want to make an observation as well. It has in no way been determined that the program has been badly handled and misadministered. As a matter of fact, I think it's one of the best programs the state of Alaska ever embarked upon, and I think it's had tremendous benefit for the children, for the adults, for the entire population of Alaska. Some occasional individuals have seemed to not abide by the statute. That's the reason the audit was requested, to find out how many people were not going by the law as it now exists on the statute book. That's the purpose of the audit. I asked for the audit myself, not because it was a bad act, but because it's an actually good act, and I wanted to find out if who is ignoring it and who is abusing it and who is not abiding by it, if anyone. And that's what that audit will tell us. But the act is very deserving and laudable act. And if you want to wipe it out, that's fine. But don't wipe it out on the pretense that it's not a good statute.
Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is going to be a little bit more on nature, I guess, in the time.
Yes.
But as you, the Department of Transportation, goes through the design phase of the project, and you get ready to submit the project to the bid, at that time, do you have within the specifications for the project the 10%, the 1% for money for art, or is that added here?
The determination of when the actual dollar amount is made is at the time of bid opening, when the low bid amount is received, and then a factor for contingencies is added on to that number. I think it's anywhere from 10 to 15%, depending upon what the total project qualifies for. But it's at the time of bid opening when the dollar amount of the project is actually determined.
Are there any other questions for Brian? Thank you much for your testimony, sir. I think I'd like to go to Eng, however. You didn't want to, okay, how about Palmer? Can we specify Palmer? Palmer, you copy?
Master Talk Officer for Palm, do you have a petition?
I would like to recommend that the original version of the law be left intact. I would like Mr. Adams to realize that this law is actually a cultural statement. It means that the people of the state of Alaska officially include visual arts into the daily working of their country. And that it should be other than some judge and social problems and evidence of the oil that is left to the generation. The amended version is, as I see it, merely an option for the declaration of building. And it is also totally unclear to whom the decision whether or not to include artwork in a building is made. Besides, as Mr. Adams implied, administrative incompetency should never be a reason to adjust any law to the capability of the administration. Thank you.
Thank you, Bridget, for your testimony. Is there anyone else there? Okay, I'd like to go to Petersburg to Ruth Sandvik. president of Petersburg Arts Council.
Thank you. I really appreciate the chance to speak on this subject. I believe I know Mr. Ward, and these gentlemen are trying to improve the situation, but I have a better idea to do it for them. I would like to speak in behalf of firmness for the original bill. I feel that we should not change the word shall to may, because we're taking a chance for more loopholes. And as the bill stands, without the amendment, there are enough loopholes. I would like to see the word public buildings defined in a better manner. I'm just shocked that you would leave public schools out of your bill, because it's the public schools where we're raising children to appreciate the values of art. I might take a little aside to say that art is a sign of civilization, and we're proud of Alaska. We don't want to, even the cave dwellers had art on their walls. We're proud of our Alaska, and we do not want to see a way for everyone to avoid following the original bill. I have a perfect example. I have a letter written November 10th, 1982 from Ashley Jensen to Mr. Craig Slater, the administrator of the Petersburg Hospital. And this is what he, this is quoting. And it's from Alan Rogers, who must be of Ashley and Jensen. I called the State Council on the Arts, and they informed me that Petersburg General Hospital would not be required to comply with the 1% funding law. Even if state monies aren't being used, it is not a state building. And so right there, I'm stopping to explain, there's a question as to the definition of a public building, and so on. And how do you like this? I'll just share this among all of you. Keeping in mind that Petersburg has a strong art lobby, you may wish to incorporate some work. I would suggest you wait until we have a final cost estimate and determine then how much is to be spent. This is just an example of why we need more teeth in the original bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth, for taking the time to give us your testimony today. It will be entered into the record. I'd like to go to Ketchikan now, where we have Liz Carpenter and Diane Langelier. And please, when you do come on, give your name and affiliation for the record, please.
I'm Liz Carpenter. I'm representing the Ketchikan Area Arts and Humanities Council, and also myself. I am opposed to House Bill 519. In my opinion, public arts is an investment, important and long-lasting investment for the citizens of our state. Essentially, House Bill 519 would eliminate public arts programs, and I'm opposed to it.
Okay, thank you, Liz. It's Diane Langelier.
Thanks, sir. This is Diane Langelier. I'm the treasurer of the Ketchikan Area Arts and Humanities Council, and I'm also opposed to House Bill 519. I'm afraid the new bill would make art obsolete in our public places. I would not like the bill to be changed on the reasons that it is not being administrated correctly, but I would like to see those problems being corrected. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Diane.
Yes, thank you. Just a general statement, and then see if you have a response to it. One of the criticisms that I get oftentimes is art in public places is directed at the inspections that we have in from the capital building, which we call it Nimbus. In other words, the people are saying we don't necessarily object to the art, but to the type of art. Can you tell us how we can correct that process if we are to keep the word kill instead of change it to me?
I'm asking
that question. Yes, the process, I mean, how can we correct the process to more fairly reflect, I guess, the intent of the people, or at least what the majority of the people would consider to be the appropriate art for that type of thing?
Well, exhibits and our purchasing, there's usually a jury, you know, or someone, a group of people
Is this Diane that we're talking to now?
Yes, that was Diane Landler.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
Mr. Chairman, could I make another point just real quick? I want to repeat it again. Nimbus, across the street, is not a product of the Art and Public Places Bill. And I think there's reason to believe that had the Art and Public Places been in existence at that time, Nimbus would not have been chosen. But regardless of whether it would or would not have been, and I agree with people who are underwhelmed by that piece of consulting. Regardless of that, that particular piece of art is not a product of the bill that we're discussing right now.
Mr. Chairman, I do understand that, and I appreciate the comments. However, it is my impression that there's $43,000 public money that has been put. Now, you said as an example, a general example, not a specific.
Representative Larson's assumption is right. It is $45,000, half of which is federal dollars, and that's part of the problem. The Art and Public Places Bill does not bear with it the encumbrances that the Fed dollars brought with it. In fact, I suspect if the federal dollars had not been there, we would not have built that particular edifice, and I think all of us would have been happy because of it. But that was federal money's in there, part of a federal program, the Alaska State program does not suffer from the same deficiency that the federal program apparently did.
Yeah, I think that the big question is the fine art that the definition in some perhaps everybody's agreement that art should be a part to carry on the heritage in the culture of the citizens of Alaska, but some of the things the art is very difficult for some people to understand.
At this time, I would like to call Stafford Smith.
You can come forward and identify yourself and the record and give your testimony.
My name is Stephen Smith, and I'm the president of Southeast Alaska Digital Artists Association. And it seems that one of the biggest misunderstandings that's happening here is number one, what is art? I'm not going to answer that question, but I think what I can do is explain a little bit more what the Art in Public Places is and what it does. What it does, because of the process of selection, which I would say is more of a response to Nimbus than indicative of how that got chosen. Nimbus was picked because under federal program that was done, he had to have a certain amount of federal credibility in order to be able to qualify as an artist, to be able to put the work down there. And there was not a single artist in the state of Alaska at the time that bid came up that was capable of meeting the qualifications for that piece of sculpture. The Art in Public Places for Alaska is tailored to the communities of Alaska, and it's also tailored to the capabilities of Alaska artists. What it is to me as an artist isn't so much purchasing artwork. What it is 1% of every public project that goes into the community has 1% of its budget allocated towards community integration. The process is such that the people in the community who are going to get the building have a right to pick what type of artwork they want, what it can be sculpture or things hanging on the wall. Then they go through a long, laborious process of soliciting bids from artists not all over the state, all over the state and all over the West Coast pretty much. Then the people within the communities and the Department of Transportation and whoever else is building the building choose for themselves exactly which piece they want to go in. And what this does is it gives the community involvement in the building before the building is actually even open, which is real important. The state can go around and put vending machines for education and gymnasiums and whatever all over the state. And they can be boxes, which is what they'll all be anyway. The state is interested in saving money, and the cost of building is high in Alaska, so if we follow logic, we're going to end up with the cheapest, most efficient buildings we can get. And if we're going to have that reflect our culture, fine. Within the cost of the building itself, we're not going to be able to incorporate the community, personally. However, we can, through that 1% of the art, allow the community to incorporate themselves into the building. They get to choose exactly what they want. And in some cases, they'll take all the bids, they'll turn them all down, and they'll put it out to bid again. And they've done that in several occasions in the smaller community where they're real particular. So it's not a matter of buying artwork. Believe me, there's not a single artist in this state that's making a living off of the 1% for the arts, no matter how much money goes into it. There's not a single artist making a living off of it. And all of the money goes to the artist. And I'll tell you, there's not a whole lot of profit in it. When you start looking at talking about putting up a mural in a community that's 600 miles away by air, it has to be 20 feet by 10 feet high. I think there's not a whole lot of profit in it. It does give artists an opportunity to expand their technical abilities by doing murals. There's not that many opportunities to do large pieces, to work in concrete, to go on and so forth. I don't want to be too long-winded, but I think the concept of the 1% for the arts is not how much are we spending on art. It's that 1% goes into integrating these structures into the communities in which they're going in. The fact that it's art, and that word seems to be a dirty word amongst an awful lot of people, is because art, as we understand it, is the only way we visually have at this point of being able to see ourselves and our culture. And that's the medium that we use. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Jerry Ward, Vice Chairman. Are there any questions of committee members, this witness? Yes, Representative Martin.
Yes, thank you. I agree with what you have to say, and I appreciate it. I hope at least I consider myself to be very appreciative of the art. The only concern that I have is how can we possibly get a spend of money?
It seems that as far as better spending the money, and this is to make a point of what Representative Adams said, he wants to see that the materials, the buyers of materials come first. Well, in the retail, it obviously comes first. 99% of it comes first. You have to have a building before you can have the art in the public place. And if I may make one more comment, and that is as to lawmaking as an art, that is that when at all possible, it seems to me, a bill is strengthened by making it more specific rather than making it more arbitrary.
I guess what I'm saying is, maybe the percentage of 1% is too small for community college building, the university building, the courthouse building, or maybe the amount of 1% is too much for the parking lot.
I recommend, I would suggest that we add more stipulations into the law to make it a bit more specific and that we can manage it better. As long as it's as vague as it is, and if we work at not making it any more vague, but making it more specific, I think we'll end up with a stronger law that better serves the people of the state.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. This time we will, since there are no further questions of the witness, we'll go to the teleconference network and calling Fairbanks. Is there a Charlotte Van Zandt that is there to testify on the bill?
Most of the money that goes into the 1% for the arts program gets funneled to the artists doing the work the benefits of the state is to develop a very fine collection of contemporary Alaskan art. And these pieces usually are big enough that they could never be done any other way. There would be no way an artist could put themselves to work for a year or so producing some of these very large pieces financially to be able to survive. And this is about the only way a large piece can be done. I think of it also as a way of training artists. I think we're improving ourselves better and better by doing this. I think the construction funds that might otherwise be spent on something else other than art, sometimes you might question whether or not it only means, you know, a little bit more expensive Final Four building or something along those lines. I think maybe if given a choice, the public might rather have a fine art piece than some of these pastry pieces. I suggest that personal taste in art should not be involved in this. This is something that's much more important than that, than saying, I don't like this piece. I think it's far too important to say that. Art is meant to be educated. It's often controversial. And we learn by controversy as well as by agreement. I think even we might have even not had something like the 16th Council of Rome if we, you know, did not like Michelangelo, his ability, his style. There was quite a lot of controversy over that system. So I would definitely oppose House Bill 519. Thank you very much.
So this is Representative Jerry Ward. Thank you very much for your testimony. Due to the time, we will move on to the next one. Shirley Haynes and Homer. Are you there on the line, Shirley?
Sure, I think for
Representative Ward, this is the moderator in Homer. Shirley Haynes is across the street. Can you please come back to Homer in about 10 minutes?
Yes, I can. I thank you. Representative Larson, did you have a comment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This comment is kind of funny to keep, but it's related to what John has had to say. There were several of us who did plan at one time a major state construction project in which the art community did play an important part in the 1%. That project, of course, was to be a construction project in Willow. It never came about as a result of the will of the people.
Thank you. It hasn't come about yet. Okay, we will go to Seward, and I believe it's so there's still time for that maybe. Dot Barterson, or Pat Barterson, are you there in Seward?
Yes, this is Dot Barterson. I'm speaking against House Bill 519. It sounds like a reactionary maneuver to me. Because of a few pieces of art that have enraged somebody, including to me that the entire 1% for art legislation is in jeopardy. If you look at it as a whole, it seems to me that the benefits far outweigh the criticism. And, you know, every once in a while, a piece of art, usually a large monumental piece, will be installed that that receives a lot of criticism. And of course, art is subjective, and art is selected by a committee, and this is bound to happen from time to time. But just because this does happen, we have to be aware that that the benefits of the program as a whole need to be considered. This is really a very young law. I believe that it was more around 1978 or 79 that the law went into effect. And I think we're having some growing pains. And I think we need to address these growing pains and not make an effort to scuttle the program.
Okay, I thank you very much, Dot. Very much, Dot. Is there any questions from the committee?
I'm not through.
Oh, okay, go ahead, please.
The problem with the 1% program is not whether not to have art, but rather what kind. And I think this is something that that even Representative Ward would appreciate. The selection committee has not always been successful in choosing art that works well or that satisfies the casual viewer. But the same can be said for the architect. All you have to do is look at Anchorage at some of the buildings that are going up and realize that somewhere along the line, the selection are going up that are not enhancing Anchorage. Does this mean that we shouldn't have buildings? I think it means that we should take more care in selecting the architect. I'm still not through.
Continue, please, Doc.
Regarding the word optional or the word shall, as opposed to whatever the other word was, there's never enough money left over from a building project. We build a house, we know that. You talk to any builder and they'll tell you that. There's never enough money left over where you might say, well, since we have this money left over, let's put up a piece of art. To me, and I think most people who live in this world, art is as important as to a facility as the tile on the floor or the plaster on the walls or the acoustic tile on the ceiling. But as a builder, you just ask the builder and he'll say, oh no, let's use the extra money for a cyclone fence and more concrete. Now with regard to the selection, the process selection, I believe that the selection committee needs to be considerate of the people who are in that building, and I think most of the selection committees are, in fact, doing that. I think one of the problems with our 1% part is that we're spending a lot of our money by putting in some monumental piece of art and neglecting the rest of the building. Charlotte spoke in favor of the large monumental art, and certainly there's a place for it, and I think largely it's doing quite well, and I'm quite a fan of Charlotte, so I can appreciate her art. I think there's a danger, however, in putting all our eggs in one basket in installing one large piece instead of several smaller ones. What I would like to see is the system that we use, for instance, at the Alaska Vocational Center in Seward, ABTEC, used to be called the Skill Center, where they have several large commission pieces. And in addition to that, they went out and bought existing works of art. You walk into that building, and if you don't like a piece, so what? The one right next to it you'll love, and so you can pick your favorite. So variety is achieved by selecting multiple artists whose work can actually be seen before being purchased. I just want to go on record as saying that I am against House Bill 519, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Doc. Are there any questions of Doc while we have her on the line from the committee members? Hearing none, we'll go on from this point to Glenn Allen, and I'd like to... Mr. Chair, I'm going to limit the testimony to 3 minutes because we do have about 10 people waiting online now. And if you could just say briefly for or against the bill and the reasons why you are or not, and then questions can come from the committee members if they have any. But we will limit testimony to 3 minutes for the remaining of the participants. And is going to Glenn Allen, is Gail Nielberg there?
Hello, Gail
Niebregi
and Glenn Allen. I'm an artist. And I will try to respect your 3 minutes limit. Basically, Stephen Smith's comments express my views. I am against the changes in House Bill 519. I've been involved in several state projects. All of them had good community involvement. In particular, one out in the Lower Pepsicoan Delta, where I went to a small village and worked with the students designing the project and then return to complete the project in front of them. It took several weeks and then installed it together. It was a terrific experience. The project reflected their culture of that era, and I think it's a terrific program.
Thank you, Gail, very much. Are there any questions from the committee members? Hearing none, we will go to Beryl, and I believe that there is a Lance, I'm not sure the first name, Fortner, that would like to testify from Beryl. Are you on the line?
Yes, Lance Fortner is here. My name is Lance Fortner, and I represent Beryl. I'm a member of the public who lives in artwork as spirit and interest in our daily lives. And of course the building must be funded fully enough to be adequately heated and safe and accessible to handicapped persons, but I feel that the richness of spirit that artwork adds to a physical structure is just as important to the public who will use the building. As a art will be what it acts. Therefore, I oppose House Bill 519 and Senator Bruce's identical bill in the Senate. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we do have questions from committee members. Representative Martin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm not sure if we're on. So, yeah, we got anybody here? Okay, is Natalie, are you here, bro? Would you like to step forward to the microphone, state your name, please, and what's your... Yes, yeah. We were trying to get it put back up to her, I believe. We have been disconnected from...
Barrel.
Jim Busy. So, with your permission, Representative Larson, while he's trying to get it hooked up to Barrel, we will take testimony from later this year and state your name, please.
My name is Natalie Rothhouse. I'm director of the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, and we're concerned over House Bill 519, currently before the House State Affairs Committee. The Art and Public Places program has provided an opportunity for government agencies, public officials, artists, architects, engineers, builders, professionals, and art organizations to work together for the benefit of all Alaskans. This program improves the environment of public buildings and makes art accessible on a daily basis to people from all walks of life. It also is a way of giving artists work, support, and a place to display their art. It should be government and set the example for an aesthetically pleasing environment, one in which we're all proud to live, work, and enjoy. The Juno Arts and Humanities Council believes that public officials have a responsibility to enhance the quality of life in Alaska. We strongly encourage all of you to vote against changing the art and public place of death.
Any questions from the committee members? Thank you very much for your testimony. While we're waiting for the moderator to get us back to Barrel, is there anybody else in this audience in the room that would like to testify upon this bill? Yes, could you come forward, please, to the microphone, please? Okay, we'll be right with Barrel for a follow-up question from the gentleman here. Can you please state your name for the record and your position on the bill?
Yes, my name is Kenneth Saru. I'm opposed to the bill. Also, I'd just like to say that I am here on my own. I'm an artist who has participated in the program. I also am the curator of visual arts at the State Museum, and I would answer any questions I might from that professional position, although I'm here on my own time. I have some written testimony I'll submit, but I'd just like to say a few things. One is that I agree with Representative Miller that this change in wording would effectively eliminate the program by and large. I think that people would, the problems that DOT has expressed with administering the bill with that optional wording would be a problem greater than any that might exist right now with administrative programs that exist. And I would also like to say that I have no awareness that the program does have administrative difficulties other than the fact that it is run on a shoestring. My experience with it as an artist was very straightforward. Minimal involvement with DOT, things went very smoothly. The other thing I'd like to say is that my understanding is that the program really doesn't cost anything. It's not an additional 1%. I'd just like to reinforce that idea. As the gentleman stated, bids are open. The buildings are built to specifications. And I don't know what else we would be getting if we had an additional 1% to spend on other options. But I'm of the feeling that it would be minimal compared with the real value that we are getting out of the art in the program. And the final thing I'd like to say is that I get the feeling here that you're largely taking stabs in the dark. I don't know what background committee has had on this, but I feel that to evaluate this program without the benefit of sitting down and looking at least slides of the artworks that have been done for the different buildings on the state with a evaluation from the community as to whether they feel it's been valuable or not, is not fair for the program. We're operating basically on hearsay and personal opinion. And granted, there are a lot of philosophical positions one can take here, but I think we have to evaluate the program. And the only way to do that is to look at what's been done. Thank you.
Are there any questions of the witness? Okay, hearing none, we will go on to the... Are there any more people within this audience that want to testify on the bill? All right, do you have Barrel on the line? Okay, yes, going back to Barrel, Representative Larson did have a question for you.
Yes, thank you, Representative Larson. I guess here again I have a comment that I do want to say. I appreciate hearing all the positive comments in relation to art public places, because over the last number of years, and on the other hand, I've heard a lot of negative comments. And I think what really appealed to me was the testimony from Beryl. We finally had someone say that they appreciated the artwork instead of running an anchor. That's good news, because they've also only, he's the only one I've ever heard say that.
Okay, thank you. And at this time, we will go to, we believe, let's see, what is this going to be? Sitka? Is there anybody in Sitka who wishes to testify on this bill?
Yes, we have a Mr. Caraway.
Yes, please go ahead.
This is Clyde Caraway, taking direction for Alaska Art Southeast. I'd like to register my dissatisfaction with House Bill 519. The bill that is, the current language is put into it as it's proposed. It will destroy the potential art. The main concern I had is that one man's art is another man's junk. And as diverse as the population and the people in Alaska are, we're going to have that many tastes, that many desires, that many values for people there. A simple analogy is food. We all don't like the same kinds of food, but we all like to eat. And we enjoy the value that the food to us from eating. And the art is the same way. The art is the visual, the beautiful part of the soul. Listening to some of the testimony, I'm concerned that there appears to be more dissatisfaction with processes rather than with the concept behind the process. I do not feel that it's necessary to destroy the idea, but refine and get the bugs out of the process instead of destroying the sense of art. As a final statement, the art is an investment in the culture of the people and the quality of life. I think the sense of the art itself is a statement to the people coming to the state to live, investigating as a place to do business, or people from other states and people that Alaska is proud of its diverse culture, its diverse qualities of life that are within the state. As a newcomer to the state, I found that a real plus in wanting to come to Alaska. And I appreciate the opportunity to testify again how Bill 519 is proposed.
Okay, thank you very much. Hearing no questions from the committee, we will go to Matt Nick, where we may have participants been on to Anchorage for the remaining of the comments. Is there anybody in Matt Nick who wishes to testify on the bill?
Yes, this is the moderator, Dottie. Pat, Harry Masterson, the superintendent for the
Richmond
Borough Schools, would like to speak.
Go ahead, please.
Hello, this is Harry Masterson, superintendent for Richmond Borough School District. I just wanted to voice my concern concerning House Bill 519 and the compatible bill on the Senate side. I support the proposed wording from the standpoint of changing may to shall. The basic reasoning being it gives me or other people an opportunity in the planning stages to be able to set our own priorities. With the original wording, the way it was originally stated, we didn't have that priority, that opportunity. Standpoint of it had to be cut. We had to cut something from an educational point of view, and possibly where that's my concern and my major premise of providing a quality educational program, that type of situation may have to suffer at the expense of education rather than where someplace else where we don't have that option to make that choice. I'm very, very supportive of the idea of the arts in public places, but I really like the opportunity of making my own priorities, and I think the proposed change will allow that to happen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from the committee members? Representative Larson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Masterson, I think your concerns are the same concerns that I used to have when I was up in that district in Sitka Borough. I think those concerns have been relieved in that the 1% art does not necessarily apply to local school districts on construction.
Yes, Representative Miller.
Thank you very much. I just kind of have a question.
we talked about this making it optional. Could you tell me, what's the purpose of even having the bill if you're going to make it optional? Why don't we don't you think it'd be more honest just to wipe it out entirely and then just say if a school district wants to have 1% or 5% they can, or if they want 0% they can? I mean, why even have the statute in there if it's going to be entirely permissive and optional? And I guess that's my question.
If you're still on the line, Matt, if you'd like to respond to that, to Representative Miller, will be listening at this time.
Representative Miller, in response to your question, I think it behooves me as a citizen and many other people, not only someone that's in the public life as a state school superintendent or anyone else, but it helps us to continually keep in mind that there are other important aspects to what we're doing, in my case, education, and to just life in general. And I think with the optional wording there, it still keeps it in the limelight that art is important. It is something that we have to continue to be aware of, and it does make a definite contribution to hopefully making our life easier. And I do not support doing away with the bill by any means. I do support having the option to my own priority.
Okay, thank you very much. If there are any further questions, at this time we will go to Shirley Haynes in Homer. Are you there, Shirley?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you. I'm Shirley Haynes. I'm an 8-year resident here in Homer and the sole proprietor of my own business, Homer Artists, located on Pioneer Avenue in Homer. For me, art is very basic. We must have art in our lives, and it is art that separates us from God's other creatures. I had lived or worked or traveled through 48 states, Canada, Europe, and Mexico before I came to Alaska, and 8 years is a lifetime record for me to ever stay in one spot. I have finally found a home and a place to raise my 3 children. And our lives here in Homer are filled with art. The beautiful patterns and designs of the frost on the inside of my windows this morning was the first art that I got to appreciate today. But as a frame shop, I deal with art and artists and art appreciators all day, every day. It's my business and it's my lifestyle. And I've discovered firsthand that, say, two-dimensional art, pictures, paintings, prints, photographs, whatever, art that's properly framed and hung on the wall, adds to, in an aesthetic and spiritual sense, the lives of the people who look at it or experience it. I believe that art adds to everyone's life, whether they pursue it, practice it, appreciate it, notice it, or are even aware of it. And maybe that's the most important thing, to make sure that when people contact public facilities, in this state anyway, that their lives are touched by balance, harmony, line, pattern, rhythm, gradation, focal points, all those elements of art. We need all those elements in our lives, and I think that keeping the 1% for our program intact in Alaska is essential to the quality of all our lives. Please keep it, and I hope you enjoyed the frost patterns on your windows this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and we will be going to Anchorage now. I didn't get to see my windows this morning. I live in Anchorage. But and is there anybody at Anchorage to testify besides Maurice, who's requested to be last?
This is moderator in Anchorage, and we presently have 6 people to testify.
Please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jimmy Froelich. I'm going to keep this real brief. Just about everything I had on my prepared statement has been mentioned. I firmly oppose House Bill 519, and with the exception of Mr. Matheson, everything I've heard, everyone seems to oppose it also. Mr. Matheson seemed to have confused the fact that his money for education was not coming out of capital project budgets at all, so it really doesn't threaten his educational priorities. And, just a kind of rhetorical question, maybe we should make education optional also. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. If there are no questions from the committee, I'd like to take the next person at Anchorage, please. Is there anybody out there that cares to testify in the building?
My name is Chris Darcy. I'm the director of the Alaska State Council on the Arts,
formerly the visual arts director there, and I've been involved with the Percent for Art program since 1978. So perhaps after I finish, I can answer questions that you might have on the history of the program or on procedural matters. The Percent for Art program has grown considerably over the past 5 years. It was passed in, the original legislation was passed in 1975. The first commission was awarded in 1978. And roughly $1,800,000 have been used to commission works of art. When you think about it, that's a very, very small amount of money that we're talking about when you consider the resources that the state of Alaska has had over the past 5 years. The Alaska State Council on the Arts opposes House Bill 519.
Yes, while we're trying to get her back, are you there?
Anchorage,
and we can't hear you. However, the testimony was interrupted by a dial
tone.
Yes, please stand by.
I have somebody on this.
Okay, go ahead.
All right,
if you care to continue, please.
The Alaska State Council on the Arts opposes House Bill 519, although we can see that Representative Adams does make some good points. The statute is not particularly well written, and the original law was passed in 75. It's been amended twice, and it's gotten a little complex. I really take exception, however, to the statement that records have not been maintained. The State Arts Council has been involved in the program collaboratively with the Department of Transportation, and they have really been the primary agency responsible for the contracting and so on. We have tried over a period of maybe 3 years to assume total responsibility for the program, and we're still interested in doing that. That has not been possible under prior commissioners. We believe that artists play a very strong role in the shaping of the environment and support the current program, which makes possible works of art created by artists under professional contracts. And I think that one of the artists who has been involved in the program spoke earlier and said that artists are not getting rich on those contracts. It's very true, and the analogy of artist to carpenter is really very good. These artists are creating work for hire, and they're not boomed off. People have questioned the validity of the program in rural schools, and while Mr. Masenson may share another opinion, I feel that some very exciting programs have been undertaken as a result of the law. Some of the districts in the state, like the Lower Kuskokwim, headquartered in Bethel, Southwest Region in Gillingham, Kodiak Island Borough, and Fairbanks North Star Borough Schools, have really done some very, very exciting things and have created unique experiences for children in an educational system that does not have an organized arts curriculum. Right now, for example, Robert Stout, a young artist from Anchorage, is working in the new school in Gustavus, a small community with not a lot of arts activities. The Arts Council does acknowledge that the program can be improved. We are interested in assuming responsibility for the management of the program if we feel that we're most closely aligned with the artists, architects, and designers of the state. We're hopeful that the audits being conducted of the OCCF, and thank you, Representative Miller, for all your support in that endeavor, will clear the air and clarify matters so that we can get on with the program in the future, and we're certainly hopeful that the program will continue.
If that concludes your testimony, are there any questions of the committee members at this time? Or comments to Representative Miller?
I have no questions, Mr. Chairman, but I would ask Chris if she would sort of stand by, which I imagine she planned on doing anyway, because she and the council, I think, are the best source of knowledge on the particular program in the state, and if some questions come up about how it works, she would be probably the best person to answer the question.
Okay, at this time we'll take testimony from did you want to get testimony?
Yeah,
please take the microphone and state your name, and then after the witness that is here in the State Affairs Chambers, we'll go to Anchorage after the witness.
Yes, my name is Paula Fowler, and I'm actually from Britain, and I came to the stage, and I think it's a very beautiful stage, and I was very impressed to find out that you did indeed have this 1% allocated, because you have a beautiful land, and you need to have art to reflect that beauty. I think it's true that you're not subsidizing the artists, but merely employing them.
and that it will be a reflection on the culture of Alaska, what you produce here in the next few years, and how much you employ, how much employment you do give to your office. And I praise you for what you have to perform. Very beautiful man.
Thank you very much. Any questions of committee members? Hearing none, and thank you. We will go to Anchorage for the next person wishing to testify. If you can please state your name for the record and your position on House Bill 519.
My name is Robert Spitzenmeyer, and I do not support House Bill 519. I think the wording is real vague, and it seriously jeopardizes the 1% program. I think the support of the arts by the government is essential to healthy evolution of our culture, and that the public art experience is an important part of the lifestyle, you know, in Alaska. I just like to go on record as not supporting House Bill 519. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any further questions from the committee members? Hearing none, we will take testimony from a person here in the audience. Would you like to take a stand, please? Did you want to give testimony, please?
I'd like to add a little bit more to my original testimony to clear up.
You've already testified?
Yes.
Okay, we'll go to Anchorage then for the next person, please. To Anchorage.
My name is David Skelker. I'm the manager of the Sculpture Department at the Visual Arts Center of Alaska. I'm also one of the founders.
Is there anybody out there which gives testimony besides the gentleman that was going to give some additional testimony about House Bill 519?
I'm the manager of the Sculpture Department at the Visual Arts Center of Alaska. I'm also founder of a group of artists called 7 AM. I'd like to go on record as opposed to House Bill 519. One of the things that I think is very important, I'm very much in agreement with Representative Miller. I firmly believe that this is a sort of almost an even a manipulation of trying to completely eliminate the 1% program. I've heard other rumors also that the 1% program might be reduced to 0.5%. I've heard that something concerning that here in the municipality of Anchorage. I believe that it is just simply a stepping towards a total elimination of the program, and I am firmly opposed to it. I think that one of the things, particularly here in Anchorage, I think that it is an international city, and we have an opportunity to reflect a very high cultural development here. If we reduce the program in any way, particularly it only is very young, I agree that there are problems with it. It is so-called a decade old or something like that. It has its problems, and I agree. But if we eliminate it in any way, what's going to happen is you're going to reduce and roll back the progress 10 years, because it's going to take 10 years to put it back where it is today. And it is nowhere at the level that it could be. Nowhere at all near the level of cultural development. The 1% program, for me, and I know for everyone that I speak of, particularly in the arts community, is very definitely the greatest progress in the arts in Alaska. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Hearing no questions from the committee members, we will go to back to Juno here. And Paul, is it Gardner?
Gardner. I'm Paul Gardner. I'm an artist. I'm Paul Gardner. I'm an artist in Juneau. I'm the exhibit preparer for the Alaska State Museum. I'd like to go on record as being against this bill, and pretty much agree with what most everyone else has said. And I find it very disturbing that a superintendent of schools doesn't consider art and cultural enrichment as a educational priority. I happen to come from Southern California, where I was very fortunate to be in one of the best art programs for elementary and high school education probably in the country. And I feel that attitudes against art are probably developed very early on, and that these negative attitudes towards art and education probably have something to do with the way that those people are brought up.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions of committee members? Hearing none, at this time we will go to Fairbanks. To take testimony there is anybody in Fairbanks wishing to testify, please take the microphone.
I'm James Flanagan. I'm the executive director of the Institute of Alaska Native Arts.
testimony in support of the Blue Central Arts Program and to oppose HB 519. I'd also like to express my concerns regarding the proposed change from shall to may, making the Central Arts optional rather than mandatory. Earlier there was discussion of basic needs. I feel that the arts fulfill a basic need, and this need will not be addressed if this legislation is passed due to the permissive nature in the change in language. Such a change could potentially eliminate the program. The Percent for Art program benefits both the producers and the consumers of the arts in Alaska, and it is for this reason I oppose HB 519. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much. We do have a question of Representative Mike Miller. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I just missed the affiliation of the First Media School. I wonder if you can give that again, please.
I'm the Executive Director of the Institute of Alaska Native Arts. My name is Jean Flanagan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hearing no further questions, Flanagan, is that an Alaska Native name?
No, it is not.
Thank you very much. I was just curious. Okay, going to back to Anchorage. Is somebody else on the line?
One moment, please. Mr. Robert Miller is approaching the microphone.
Good job with me.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is Bob Miller, Chair of the Alaska State Council on the Arts. I believe in the scrutiny of public law and public policy, and I appreciate this opportunity to participate. I regret today that it's being done in a hearing on a bill that would, in effect, repeal the Percent for Art law. Rather, I wish this were an oversight hearing designed to determine where specific problems exist and come up with creative ways to solve those problems and save a valuable arts program that is the envy of other states. Of course, the Percent for Art program could use some adjustments. Indeed, what program couldn't? But HB 519 does not adjust. It destroys. It proposes a wrecking ball solution to a screwdriver problem, and I urge the committee to proceed with caution. Public art generates controversy. That's good. We shouldn't shy away from it. Controversy is part of it. It has always been so. The controversy in turn sparks public discussion, and the public discussion in turn sparks people to think. It's a healthy process, and one I'm glad Alaska's part of. That process involves the expansion of our imagination, the widening of our views, and a constant redefinition for each of us individually about what art is to us and what art means to us. So let's get on with the audit. Let's get the results of the audit. Let's make adjustments in this program where we need to. And then let's nurture it and give it a chance. This state can afford both insulation and art, and we're worth it. Thank you.
Any questions from the committee members? Hearing none, this time we will go back to Fairbanks to Dave Nicholas. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Dave Nicholas. I'm the visual arts assistant at the Fairbanks Arts Association. We run a gallery here in town. And I'm not going to be as eloquent as the previous speaker. I'm just going to state that I'd like to express my opposition to the language in HB 519 and urge you to keep the language as is. And if the bill needs improving, then go ahead and improve the language. There are problems in the administration of the program that they ought to be sorted out and corrected rather than destroying the whole program. The Percent for Art is an asset for the state. We should nurture this program and not kill it. Thanks a lot.
Are there any questions from the committee members? Hearing none, at this time we'll go to a gentleman here which is to give additional testimony. Please state your name, please, and continue.
My name is Ed Cronin from the Department of Transportation. On a technical note, I'd like to add the concern that the department would have over this proposed change. One of the unique natures of the current statutes is that it harnesses the bidding process without much difficulty, and it makes a clear distinction between the facility that's being constructed and the artwork to be placed in that facility, and that there is no connection between the two. The 1% is either used for art or lost to the Arts Council presently. In planning processes, that 1%, if this change is made, would not be available for other uses such as code upgrade or desire for a higher quality facility. The difficulty there would be in with Bill 519 would be the qualification of that use of that 1% if it's to be an optional item. And from the bidding
standpoint of the construction industry, it would just be an extremely difficult thing to monitor. And the department, and I'm sure with the concurrence of the Arts Council, greatly appreciate the ease with which this current system operates. Very easy to measure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions from the committee members? Hearing none, we'll go back to Anchorage. Is there somebody on the line there which wishes to testify?
This is John Blaine. I'm the Executive Director of the Visual Arts Center of Alaska and formerly with the State Arts Council. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm delighted to hear the extraordinarily positive testimony from around the state on House Bill 519 and being opposed to it. I am personally very opposed to it. I also oppose the corresponding bill sponsored by Senator Curtis in the Senate. I really do believe that it would kill the Arts Public Places program in the state, and I'd like to join with Drew in proposing to you an audit that does not just look at the figures, but takes a real in-depth look at what has been accomplished, look at the artwork that has been purchased and installed through the expenditure of monies for this very, very small program as it relates to the entire state program. To put the program in perspective, you only have to look at how quickly $1 million can be used for a cost overrun or a difficulty in a school building, such as we've had here recently with Reading Junior High School. The fact that over the last 5 years, the program has expended less than $2 million and has caused such a high degree of identity for so many different places in the state, and such a high degree of interest and positive reaction, even when critical. Even the one speaker today who has spoken in favor of House Bill 519 has said how much he favors the arts in public places, or having art in public places. So I think this has been a very positive hearing or teleconference from where I sit, but I would hope very much, along with Ken DeRue, and I think it's a very positive suggestion that I hope you can take, if you would ask the State Arts Council to provide you with the other half of the audit, which is essentially a clear look at what has been accomplished with a chance to see the work itself, to hear from the people where that work is located, and to make your decision about any changes in this program based on both sides of the equation, the actual artwork and the actual cost.
Thank you very much. Are any questions from the committee members? Hearing none, we will take the next witness at Anchorage.
Excuse the question, Emma. This is Kay Reed. I'm president of the board of Visual Arts Center and a homemaker. I've lived in Anchorage for 16 years. I'm speaking in opposition to HB 519. I want to just use an old saw on you a little bit and say that there are only two groups of people who benefit from public art: artists and non-artists. Artists, of course, benefit from public art. It's hard to make a living as an artist, particularly probably in Alaska. And any culture, I think, ought to support its artists, since they are the people who serve to keep us in touch with the possibility of the human spirit. Second group of people is just the general public, and that's me. I enjoy living in a community that has a humane environment. I agree with other people who have said that in Alaska we still have a choice about the kind of environment we want to live in. I think art goes a long way toward making Anchorage a place where people want to make